7:01 here on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, I want to continue to take your calls. Truly a revolting story, but it is what it is. The good news is that at least now they're back inside the Capitol Hill building, and they're back to sleeping on the cafeteria floor, which is an upgrade from having been sent to a cold, freezing garage, 5,000 National Guard troops, after they protected Joe Biden and all these members of Congress during the inauguration. They were used, and then they were discarded like a piece of garbage. And so they had been sleeping on the floor, the Senate building, in the Senate cafeteria for, and I've been there, by the way. It's actually a very good cafeteria. Really, the food is top-notch. You want steak, you can get steak. You want seafood, you can get seafood. The desserts are world-class. I mean, let's put it this way. It's not your high school cafeteria. You know, it's a five-star restaurant. They just call it a cafeteria. So anyway, they had them sleeping on the floor there. And apparently that angered senators and staffers, because it's getting in their way, because when they want to go and stuff their face, they have to, go over troops or go around troops or whatever. So they kicked them out. And they kicked them out into a freezing cold parking garage, all concrete. They had to sleep on that freezing cold concrete. 5,000 troops. I'm not kidding. One bathroom, one toilet. That's it. One toilet for 5,000 troops. And I'm not trying to get graphic. If you know anything about downtown D.C., there's no countryside. Forgive me, but you can't go to the bathroom in the woods. You can't. So you have to wait for that one bathroom. Because this story leaked out on alternative media outlets, the mainstream media were suppressing this. They don't want to touch this because this is going to humiliate Biden. And obviously show his regime in a negative light. They have to desperately prop him up. But the word did get out. Family members found out. Friends found out. Because the troops were on social media saying, you're not going to believe where they just stuck us. And their phone lines melted down. And now they're back into the Capitol Hill building. So at least they have some heat. Now, very quickly, and I want to go back to the phone lines. What also took place during Inauguration Day, and again, the media is covering this up as well, is that in Seattle, Washington, and in Portland, Oregon, there were massive riots by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. You see, it wasn't Trump supporters, so they didn't make a big deal about it. They couldn't politically exploit it. But in Seattle, for example, Antifa thugs lashed out saying that Biden's victory is not enough. Quote, they were saying, we want revenge. No police, no prisons, complete abolition. And so they marched in downtown Seattle, in particular in the business district. They destroyed shops, windows, they smashed everything. Apparently an Amazon Go store was completely looted, ransacked. A U.S. courthouse was destroyed and vandalized. Federal buildings were destroyed and vandalized. Police officers were beaten and assaulted. They were burning American flags. Fires were set everywhere. In Portland, it was even worse. In Portland, Oregon, this was the day of the inauguration again. Antifa terrorists, Black Lives Matter thugs, went absolutely berserk, saying they want blood, they want revenge, they were calling for Trump to be put in a guillotine, they were openly calling for the murder of Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, they were saying that Biden is not enough for them, that Biden will not satisfy them. And so they went on a massive terror spree. Again, windows destroyed, shops looted, parts of Portland literally set on fire, burning, cars torched, police officers assaulted. It got so bad, they finally had to bring in a very heavy police presence, but not before Antifa and Black Lives Matter went to the Democratic Party's headquarters in Portland. And they destroyed it. They absolutely destroyed it. They smashed windows. They broke in. They destroyed everything inside the headquarters. And they were spray painting, forgive me, F Biden, F Trump, death to Biden, death to Trump, death to the police, kill cops. This was everywhere. The graffiti with the F word and the anarchy signs. In a circle, everywhere, absolutely everywhere. So how come now, all of a sudden now, you had Joe Biden telling us that Antifa was just a quote unquote idea? Or they were telling us this was just a reaction to Trump, that once we got rid of Trump, all of this would stop. How come now they're not calling this an insurrection? How come now the media is not reporting this? How come, by the way, Biden did not condemn it. Kamala Harris did not condemn it. No leading Democrat condemned what happened on Inauguration Day. So they were willing to call out 25,000 National Guard troops to protect their rear ends. But where was the National Guard in Portland? Where was the National Guard in Seattle? You don't think those shop owners were in terror? You don't think those innocent civilians and citizens were afraid that they were going to come for them? You don't think those cops that were sent to the hospital, you don't think they were worried about their lives? How come only the lives of members of Congress matter and not the lives of ordinary citizens? So what you are now seeing is they have unleashed a Frankenstein's monster. And you want to talk about inciting an insurrection? Who was the one that said, a la Kamala Harris, keep protesting, protest even after the election, and you should keep protesting after the election, egging on Antifa and Black Lives Matter? Who was the one that kept calling for uprisings? Nancy Pelosi. How come? So when they incite, it's okay.
When I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
That was Pelosi. Ayanna Pressley. We need more unrest, not less unrest. We need more
there
violence.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them.
But Trump and Trump's supporters are the domestic terrorists. Trump is the inciter. I'm going to get to this later in the show. They're going ahead with an impeachment Senate trial. Unbelievably, but they are. So they now want to go after Trump for an alleged crime that he had no responsibility for. The very same thing that they are all guilty of. He never incited a thing. We have him on tape inciting again and again and again. Just ask Portland and Seattle. 617-266-6868 is the number. Lou in Rhode Island. Thanks for holding, Lou, and welcome.
Yeah, how you doing, Jeff? You just remind me of something. And I like, maybe you could touch on this later or work on this to present it some other time. But you're playing those clips there, right, of Maxine Waters.
Yes.
and
Pressley and Pelosi.
If they put on that trial, and let's say I'm the defense attorney for President Bush, I would show one montage after another after another after another of all these Democrats inciting all these riots, supporting all these riots, talking about helping to pay for the bail for all these Antifa people, one after another after another after another. That would be part of my defense. of President Bush, and it would shame them so badly that even Mitch would probably have to vote in favor of acquittal of Donald Trump. Everyone, can I ask you one?
Lou, I'll tell you what. Yes, please. You can definitely ask me a question. I'm going to have to hold you over. But no, I agree. If they're going to hold a Senate impeachment trial, then you know what? Go after the accusers. Expose and shame the Democrats. .718 here on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, let's go back to Lou in Rhode Island. Lou, you said you wanted to ask a question. Please, the floor is yours. Go.
Yeah, I have a question. I want to make a point, too. But before I get to that, I've been listening to your show for like the last 3 days or 4 days, and your callers are the best in the business. You're absolutely, the callers have been terrific, and I have to acknowledge that. And I'm just saying that for myself. I hear one call after another that's just brilliant. And I've been listening to talk radio for something like 40 years, and they are really, really good.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
No, Lou, best in the business. I'm not kidding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I listen to a lot of that stuff. I mean, they're terrific. But anyway, I have two points. First of all, the question is, and I want to get to my point. Did you see yesterday, it was like, and you might have touched on it because I didn't catch your whole show yesterday, where James Clyburn, George W. Bush congratulated James Clyburn for saving Biden's candidacy. Did you see that? Did you see that clip?
Yes.
By any chance?
Yes.
Is this what the Republican Party is? I mean, come on, give me a break. Is this where Mitch and all these people are? And now we see what the Democrats really are. This is my point. We've got the Benghazi Democrats back again. The Benghazi Democrats. In one day, look at what happened. In one day, they got rid of the Keystone Pipeline, cost the American public during the pandemic and a recession, 11,000 good jobs. The second thing he did was, this is Joe Biden's first day, is that no deporting illegals. So as Tucker Carlson brought up last night, all of the illegal criminals are allowed to stay in the United States. And number three, you touched on this yesterday, the Paris Climate Agreement, a $1.7 trillion hit to our economy. Our energy prices are going to go way through the roof. And who gets empowered by this? Biden's old buddy, China.
Lou, drop the mic. Thank you very much for that call. He's completely right. That's just, what is it? We're day two. We're just day two. And you already see the damage that he's doing to the country. I mean, it's incredible. 617-266-6868 is the number. Denise in Hanover. First time caller, Denise. Thanks for holding and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Denise. Hello, Denise.
Yes.
Denise, you're on the air. Go ahead. I can hear you. Can you hear me, Denise?
Yes, I can.
All right, go ahead, Denise.
Couple of points. First, I'm a veteran, United States Army veteran. My husband is a retired veteran.
Wow.
And I feel what you were talking about earlier, what they're doing to the troops, is a disgrace. I was elected at one point to be on the inaugural committee for President Bush when I was in the military, just to go there, just to be support, just to be backup. They treated us fabulously. We had beds, we had cots, we had hot food. It was quite a privilege. I went to D.C. on the 6th to show my support for President Trump. I was at the rally, very peaceful. Everything he said, telling us to peacefully make our way to the Capitol. I'm absolutely disgusted and horrified how they treat people now, the media. I'm sick to my stomach about what they did to the military. And my point is this, for the military there that we put in the garage with one bathroom. My point is, if they are willing to do that in front of the press, in front of the people here in the United States, when we can see that, where are these people going to be? What are they going to do to the troops when they're overseas, when they're in battle? How will they be treated in the future? Are they going to be, ill-equipped? Are they going to leave them? So I feel if they're willing to treat the military like that here, we just really should be afraid of our soldiers sending them overseas, and I don't think that they will be supported in the right way that
Denise,
they should be.
Denise, look, I'll answer, I hate to say this, because you know how much I love you and the troops, because I think you guys are the best. I'm not saying that to stroke your ego. You really are the best. The reason why I'm behind this microphone is because of sacrifices made by you and your husband and right. so many others. You really are the best. They're going to treat you, if we send our troops abroad, the way they treated them under Obama. And I've got one word, mm-hmm. Benghazi. Benghazi. Right. When you're under attack and you're being killed and your body's being dragged through the streets and you're begging for reinforcements, nothing is going to come. And then they're going to lie and cover it up. And the media is going to help them lie and cover it up. And that's the sad truth.
The hardest part for me now is just the American people. When will they wake up? We know the division. We know the two-tier judicial system. We know how corrupt and how the double standards. Your listeners, your callers, a lot of the people. But the other half, it's like, what is wrong with them? When are they going to wake up? What is it going to take for this country to be completely wiped out before they say, oh, I guess something was happening? It's right in front of their faces. So many people talk to them. I've lost friends and family and I can't be customers and my small business. I can't begin to tell you. I feel so alone because, of course, we're in Massachusetts, too. But when are these people going to wake up and understand what is happening to our country?
Denise, I want to thank you personally and your husband for your service. God bless you. And please don't be a stranger. Call again.
Thank you.
She's completely right. Well, I'll tell you what it's going to take. About 100 days. Give this guy 100 days. Give them about 3 months. Give them 3 months. And the American people are going to be like, what? They told us he was a moderate. They told us this was blue-collar Joe. They told us, no, this guy was a centrist Democrat. This guy was going to unify. This guy was going to be bipartisan. This guy was going to, you know, help us defeat the pandemic and the coronavirus, but keep Trump's economy booming and not to worry about him. And they're going to realize they were lied to and they were snookered. Now, just very quickly, because I think Lou made a brilliant point earlier on. George W. Bush thanked Clyburn for saving Biden's bacon in South Carolina during the primary. It's obvious. The Bush family prefers Biden over Trump. Mitch McConnell prefers Biden over Trump. Mitt Romney prefers Biden over Trump. Charlie Baker prefers Biden over Trump. The establishment Republican Party prefers a Democrat to a real America First conservative. In other words, the swamp is closing ranks. And it doesn't matter if you have an R or a D beside your name. The swamp is all that matters. The ruling class is all that matters. The corruption and the self-interest is all that matters. So don't be confused by Republican or Democrat. There's only two differences. Are you a globalist or are you a patriot? More with your calls next. .731 here on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Cleaning up the liberal bull. Okay, it wasn't just him sending 5,000 National Guard troops to a freezing cold parking garage with one toilet. Biden, as you know, has signed 17 executive orders. One of them is a national mask mandate. In other words, he signed a mandate whereby if you're on federal property, federal land, or in a federal building, you must wear a mask. Listen to Dementia Joe. Roll cut one, Christian.
The brutal truth is, it's going to take months before we can get the majority of Americans vaccinated. So, while we increase vaccinations, we're going to take steps necessary now to slow the spread of the disease as well. One of our 100-day challenges is asking the American people to mask up for the first 100 days, the next 99 days. The mask have become a partisan issue, unfortunately. But it's a patriotic act.
It's going to save lives. It's a patriotic act. We all have to mask up. And if you're on federal property, it's now a mandate. You must mask up. You must wear a mask. Listen to Biden signing the executive order. Roll cut three, Christian.
Yesterday, I signed an executive action that requires masks and social distancing on federal property. Today, we'll be signing an additional executive action to extend masking requirements on interstate travel, like on trains, planes, and buses.
You take a plane, you got to have a mask. Take a train, you got a mask, bus. It's just mask and masks everywhere. Except there's one problem. Biden, with his family, right after he signs the executive order, he signs it, then he goes with his family to the Lincoln Memorial. And guess what? He didn't wear a mask. And neither did Dr. Jill Biden. And neither did Dr. Jill Biden. And neither did Hunter Biden. Neither, no one in his family wears a mask. And he doesn't wear a mask. And then furthermore, when he goes back to the White House and he speaks to reporters, everyone else who spoke wears a mask because it's now a mandate. You know who didn't wear a mask again? You guessed it, Dementia Joe. Rules for thee, but not for me. So listen now, Peter Doocy of Fox News asks press secretary, and she's a real liar, Jen Psaki, saying, whoa, what the hell just happened with Biden at the Lincoln Memorial? Roll cut six, Christian.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
Lincoln Memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
Okay, number one, she calls him Steve. That's his father, who does the whatever their morning show. So she's getting the name wrong. But let that, she keeps calling him Steve, by the way. Okay, but let that go. She's got this arrogant smirk on her face the whole time. And like, we take this seriously. We do testing. We do social distancing. We wear masks. But hold on, he's defying his own mask mandate. He's breaking his own rule. Like, you don't see the hypocrisy and the double standard here? Hello? If you don't wear a mask, it kills people. So why then is he not wearing a mask? Do you believe what you're saying or do you not believe what you're saying? So Doocy, to his credit, does a follow-up. Listen now to this. This was a revealing answer from Jen Psaki. Roll cut seven, Christian.
Joe Biden often talks about it is not just important the example of power, but the power of our example. Was that a good example for people who are watching who might not pay attention normally?
Well, Steve, I think the power of his example is also The message he sends by signing 25 executive orders, including almost half of them related to COVID, the requirements that we're all under every single day here to ensure we're sending that message to the public. Yesterday was a historic moment in our history. He was inaugurated as President of the United States. He was surrounded by his family. We take a number of precautions, but I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time.
We have bigger issues to worry about? We have bigger issues to worry about? Whoa, 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 whoa. All you've been doing is saying mask saves lives. You're not patriotic if you don't wear a mask. You're going to get people killed if you don't wear a mask. In fact, do you remember what they did to Trump at the debate? When he didn't wear a mask and his family didn't wear masks, even though they had been tested, they were all social distancing.
I'm told by the pool of reporters who was there that somebody from the Cleveland Clinic came up to the first family. I believe this was before Mrs. Trump sat down and offered them masks in case they didn't have them, and they waved them away. And people in the hall did notice that while they were all wearing masks, including my wife and four of my children, that the first family did not wear masks during the debate. When it ended, Mrs. Trump came up to go on the stage, as I think everybody saw. She was not wearing a mask. Mrs. Biden did come up, and she was wearing a mask as she came up past me and went up to her husband.
They wore a mask, but Trump and his wife didn't wear a mask. Oh, they're going to get people killed. It was so irresponsible. But now, whoa, well, we got bigger issues. We got more important issues to worry about. Oh, so it's not a mass killer. Oh.
And lead, not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
You phony, you fraud, you liar. You liar. Number one, there is no evidence whatsoever that masks work. In fact, think about it. Everybody's wearing a mask, and coronavirus cases are spiking, and they have been for months. And the states where people are wearing the mask the most, this state, New York, I can go on, California, that they have the highest cases of the coronavirus. So if masks were truly as effective as these clowns claim, then why is the coronavirus on the rise in the very places where most people wear a mask? Okay, that's number one. But let all that go. You're going on about how it's important and patriotic and life-saving to wear a mask, and then you get caught repeatedly not wearing a mask? And then when confronted by it, well, we have more important issues to worry about. Oh, so it's really not that important after all, huh? This is a joke. This whole administration's a joke. This imposter in chief is a joke. And I'm telling you, my friends, this is only day two. It's only day two. Jimmy in Quincy. Thanks for holding, Jimmy, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. I hope I can be coherent. I haven't slept since yesterday. It's been a rough couple of months. It doesn't seem so unreal. But, you know, they had no problem during the Kavanaugh hearing storming the Senate chambers three times and getting in there and trying to bash in the Supreme Court doors and occupying Nancy Pelosi's office. In fact, they were being praised by AOC. She was encouraging them. But to me, this is like they're exploiting a mob incident there at the Capitol, trying to make it their Reichstag fire to implement their enabling acts. And that's the way they're talking about a new federal agency, you know, to and like a new act to surveil us.
That's right. A new law, a new domestic war on terrorism against us, against Trump supporters.
Yeah, Biden, Britain's teach, shaking his fist, saying that that mob of white supremacists, insurrectionists, and if it was Black Lives Matter to be treated different. Yeah, they would be treated different. The cops would back off. They would elude the place, vandalize it, assault the people, destroy the art, and, you know, smash the statues, you know, and they would have been praised. And this is, you know, what it is, like Denise said, when are people going to wake up? People are so overwhelmed and bewildered, realizing how utterly corrupt the government is at the highest levels at every agency. and learning day by day how bad it was. Even the president was, you know, learning every day. It's just crazy.
Oh, no, I hear you. Look, Trump was shocked and outraged in utter disbelief how deep the corruption went. You are completely right. And now they're in power again. But not for long, my friends. Believe me, not for long. Is Biden a hypocrite? .748 here on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Larry in New Hampshire. First-time caller, Larry. Thanks for holding and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. Great show. Love your show.
Thank you, Larry.
I tried to get in yesterday. I just barely missed you. I'm just thinking, I'm so baffled by all of this that, all of this so-called intel that they've gathered, you know, on Biden and a whole bunch of these other jerks, how is it that they didn't declare that intel to make them declared a security risk, a national security risk? It just baffles me. I mean, you know, if they've got all these ties to China and other countries and stuff, it's like, how can they possibly not, you know, classify that as a national security risk? And, you know, I mean, even the top military, couldn't or wouldn't do their job to uphold their oath to protect this country from an enemy, foreign or domestic. I mean, if that doesn't qualify, I don't know what is. It really baffles me, Jeff. You know,
well, Larry,
how did we get?
Look, Larry, I let me again be brutally honest with you, like I'm in the confessional. The former Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, releases this report that China directly interfered in the 2020 election on behalf of Joe Biden. Okay, we all know that. He then also reveals that the intelligence analysts who found all of the overwhelming evidence were directly pressured by, she's gone now, she resigned a couple days ago, but by then CIA Director Gina Haspel and the top management at the CIA. Don't mention China. Why? Because this will vindicate everything that Trump said. So we have our foreign intelligence agency, okay, the CIA, now directly shilling for communist China and trying to suppress that they are actively interfering in our election. You have the entire media, with the exception of the New York Post, who deliberately suppressed the story of the Hunter Biden laptop, which is the smoking gun for the financial corruption and ties of the Biden crime family, 10% for the big guy, directly to the Chinese communist regime. Big tech directly suppresses it as well. So you have to ask yourself, why? Why? Why this willingness among so many elements of American society, the ruling class, the establishment, the political media establishment, why are they so willing now to cover up for communist China? And the answer is obvious, because they're owned by China. Most of our media conglomerates, starting from CNN to NBC to NBC to CBS to MSNBC, are owned or partially owned by the communist Chinese. They use front companies, but they're the big investors. So they shill for communist China. So they have to cover up for communist China because the Chinese have essentially bought them. Big tech, Twitter, Facebook, their real money is in China with its massive market, over 1 billion people. So they're owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Mitch McConnell and Elaine Chao, his wife, are worth north of $60 million. That's just what we know, because of the shipping business that they're a part of in communist China. So Romney has ties to China. McConnell has ties to China. Pelosi has ties to China. Biden obviously has ties to China. So what they've been doing is systematically, piece by piece, methodically, buying up Eric Swalwell. Sometimes they use honey trap spies. He literally slept. Forgive me. He was sleeping. He was having sex with a well-known Chinese spy, Christine Fang. Bang, bang, Fang, Fang. That's what they've nicknamed Falwell now on Capitol Hill. And he was a member of the Intelligence Committee. So they were sending intelligence classified information to Chinese spies who were working for the Chinese military. So we have been completely and thoroughly infiltrated and corrupted. Now, that's just a fact. That is a fact. So that's why no one wants to blow the whistle on them. So if you notice, this has been their big strategic secret, their big strategic move. This is the dirty secret. They blame Russia for everything. It doesn't matter what. Now Pelosi wants to blame what took place on January 6th, I swear, on Russia. Russia has to be the boogeyman. Putin is behind everything. Russia is behind everything. It is to distract from the real enemy, China, because they serve now their new masters. And the meaning of the Biden presidency is that now China has effected a coup using the Democratic Party, using Joe Biden, using big media, using big tech, using the deep state. They effected a coup against President Trump. In fact, just yesterday, again, the official mouthpiece of the Chinese Communist Party said that, quote, kind angels have triumphed over evil. The evil was Trump. The kind angels are Biden. They openly brag in Beijing how they own Biden and his family, that they now have their guy in the White House. Xi Jinping is openly saying, we will now have our way with the United States. We have brought America to its knees. If you remember, what was the most controversial policy decision made by Trump? He made a lot of decisions. I'm not talking about them calling him a racist and a white supremacist and a Nazi and an agent of Putin. They did that every day. The one thing that he did that drove them, I mean, apoplectic, the trade war with China. Everybody, Republicans savaged him, Democrats savaged him, the media savaged him. Everybody, this was unforgivable. This was the greatest sin of all. How dare he launch a trade war with China? Even though China has been launching a trade war against us for 30 years. They've been waiting. That was Trump's argument. He goes, we're already in a trade war. It's just that they've been fighting it for 30 years. They're dumping all of their goods on the American market. They've stolen 6-7 million manufacturing jobs. Entire factories literally outsourced to China. Trillions of dollars of our wealth gone to China. We built them up into a military economic superpower by selling our country down the river. And so he said, no, I'm going to slap some tariffs. No, you're not going to take our jobs. You're not going to dump your steel. You're not going to dump your garbage products at below price. We're going to put tariffs. And they went nuts. They went nuts. The economy was going to collapse. The sky was going to fall. We were going to go into a Great Depression. I mean, they went, nothing happened. My point is just this. When I lived in DC, I used to say this all the time. Washington was Chinese occupied territory. It was like Hong Kong. They owned I saw it with my own eyes. They bought up newspapers, they bought up think tanks, they bought up politicians. Their money and their influence was everywhere. And it's not just the United States. This is what the people of Taiwan are trying to warn us. And the people of Hong Kong are trying to warn us. They are buying up resources and governments all over the world. Like literally, Venezuela, Latin America, Africa, much of Asia. This is a deliberate, systematic policy for them to become a world power, the next superpower. So, Larry, when you're telling me how does this happen, this is why it's happening. We have sold our souls, or our ruling elites have sold their souls for money.
I guess you're right, Jeff.
I mean, Larry, it's chilling, but that's why Trump was the last patriot that we had in office.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And we have to waken up now to the danger of China, because they are as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Larry, thank you very much for that call. So, and that was Trump. That he was trying to, that was the alarm bell. He kept ringing again and again and again. He was sounding that alarm.